Let's turn to Mark chapter 4 for a minute. Hallelujah. We were talking last week a little bit about some things, and sometimes we say that, you know, people will spend. I'm going to talk a little bit about the offering for a minute, and then we'll have our lesson, but this is part of our lesson. Hallelujah. And if you don't like this, let me know. You know, we can always change. You know, I'm changeable. But I think it's good to kind of see what the Lord says about finance. And, you know, if we give it little bite sizes, sometimes it helps our faith. Amen. We'll keep moving forward. It will help our faith and we'll go forward. But we were talking last week about sometimes people give their whole life to working for money. And most people become a slave to that money. The desire to have more or the fear of not having enough. It can dictate to most of our lives, and a lot of times people make major decisions around how much money they make or how much money they have. Well, I can go over to this city and I can make $10,000 more a year. I can go over there and make, you know, a little bit more. But we want to remember there's a plan that God has for us. And, you know, we don't want to just limit ourselves to our level of education, about where we live, or what we spend our life doing. But we want to talk it over with the Lord. Amen? And we talked about last week, we don't want to just work in the natural. But we want to also work with God in the spiritual. Amen? It's good to work. We need to have a job. He said we should work with our hands, that we may have to give, amen? And we're not to become loafers and moochers, as we call it, you know. The Bible doesn't want us living off of everybody else at their expense and not taking care of our own responsibilities, amen? It's one thing if you save money and you're living on the money that you made and so forth. That's great and wonderful. I know some of you are retired and praise the Lord. You're doing great, but you still need His help. Amen. And He does it, doesn't He? I know Diana's got several testimonies. The Lord's working. Amen. But He'll take care of us and He'll provide for us. But we want to continue to move forward with our faith so that we can have what? Abundance. Amen. Amen. Not so that we're blessed, but so the kingdom's blessed. He blesses us to be a blessing. Amen. That was good preaching, Pastor Doug. Hallelujah. Because it's true. You know, we're not looking out. He'll take care of us. We'll have enough. But somewhere, what's enough? It's all different for each of us because we're at a different level, okay? You know, you talk it over with the Lord. I mean, if you make $10 million a year, I mean, you know, He might say, hey, you know, you can live on, you know, Zama dollars, you know, but if you make $20,000, you're not going to, you know, you might have to live on a little less. Amen. But we're making more than that. Praise God. Or believe God for more. Amen. How many know you can believe God and He can help you do things maybe you're not trained for? Gives you favor, gives you grace. You know, there's a lot of ways to teach ourselves some things on the internet these days, and people are doing all sorts of things. So be open to His leading is what I'm saying. Okay? In Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, verse 35, I said, didn't I? Okay. Verse 35, I want to read 35 to 41 here real quick. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Now here's where they're getting ready to go across the sea. And Jesus had told them, go to the other side. It says here, on the same day when evening had come, He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was, and other little boats were also with Him. And a great storm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke Him and said to Him, Teacher, do you not care that we perish? We're perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Okay, so here we have the disciples, and they've worked with all their human effort to try to keep their boat afloat. Anybody ever worked so hard and you're trying to stay afloat? I don't know if you ever have, but I have. And we've done everything we can do. But how many know that our own human effort and all of our accumulated experience did not bring necessarily the answer, and it didn't for them either. It didn't happen. They were fishermen. They knew about storms. They'd been there before. And none of that experience was helping them in this particular storm. Jesus, of course, was woken up. He got up and stopped the storm and then turned to disciples. And what did he say? How is it that you have no faith? He didn't say some faith or good try, guys, way to give it your best shot. He said, how is it that you have no faith? So Jesus didn't wake up and grab an oar and help his disciples paddle, did he? He didn't start working, you know, so, oh, well, let's come on, let's go. Come on, guys, let's row harder. Let's do more. No. Jesus always goes to the avenue of faith and dominion. And that's where he went in this case. He used the weapons of warfare that employ the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and he allowed the Father to do the works by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He began to speak. He said, I'm going to take dominion. I'm going to speak to this storm. So here we're seeing that Jesus is explaining to them, and he goes directly to his dominion as a child of God, a son of God. And he expects the Holy Spirit to bring them to pass. What Jesus calls having no faith is when we use only our own human effort and skills to try to overcome the schemes and the devices of Satan, the evil one. When he has schemes and devices against us, see, this is what's happened. This storm tried to come to stop Jesus from getting across to the other side. How many know what's going to happen on the other side? There was the demoniac waiting them for them. And when he got there, he was set free. And actually, he wanted to come and follow Jesus, but Jesus said no. So revival was coming to the other side. Right on the other side, there's going to be a manifestation of the power of God. But on the way, there came the great storm. See, every storm in life you didn't necessarily cause. Amen. You don't cause every storm. Sometimes it's the enemy working from the outside. Sometimes other people come against us and can cause certain things. The enemy uses them. I'm not saying it's them. We don't. No person is our problem. We got to remember that. They're not the enemy. But he can stir them up, and sometimes it seems like it. So what the disciples were doing employed no faith at all. They didn't put any faith to work at all. It did not call what? On the power of God or the Holy Spirit in any way. The storm was raging to stop them, and they were trying to get through it using nothing but human skill and energy. Anybody ever done that? I'm doing all I know, Lord. Come on. But we call on the Lord. We're still calling on Him. They were doing nothing. They wouldn't say, hey, you know, until it got so bad, they finally said, Jesus, don't you care if we perish? What are you doing sleeping? Help us. And Jesus always went to the avenue of faith-filled words for dominion. And those words released authority to bring the power of the Holy Spirit on the scene. He said, what did he say? We see here, Why is it you have no faith? He said just before, he said what? 39? He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. Jesus was operating as a man, the last Adam, and he knew that he had been given all dominion over all the works of God's hand. And he had been given dominion over all the works of the devil. And he spoke words that the Holy Spirit could take and speak, and he could bring to pass the answer. What am I? My question today is, what are we doing to release the power of the Holy Spirit in your life concerning your finance? Are we taking the Word of God and saying, Lord, I thank you that according to your Word, you meet all my need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus? That's Philippians 4:19. You know, have you found a few scriptures that you like that you can use that will help you in bringing to pass God's will for your life? He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have enough, not because you gave all, but because he gave all. He gave his whole life. 2 Corinthians 8:9, Jesus said, what? For you know the grace, Paul said, of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. We've talked about that many times. Not through what we do, not through my adding my own strength, not adding my own efforts. I know what I'll do. I think I'm going to give my way out of this problem. No, I think you might want to pray and do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Now, he may lead you to give some money. He may lead you to do some of those things. But he also may lead you in a second job. He may lead you to, you know, he may provide for you another way, a better income. He may say, I want you to go to class at night and learn something. Oh, my goodness, now we're getting very practical, aren't we? But when we take the Word of God, the Bible says God hearkens to the angels of the Lord, and God, he hearkens to the voice of his word. And when we put voice to what God has said, he will bring it to pass. He is obligated to his word. Hallelujah. How many know one of my favorites, Psalm 35:27, I believe it is. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Or we would say now, of his sons. Amen. You're a child of God. He is our Father. He wants to care for us. But today I want us to remember, what are we doing to really release our faith over our finance? Are we being consistent? Do we have two or three scriptures that we can say? Philippians 4:19 is a good one. Psalm 35:27, I think it's a good one. I like that one. But you find some that you like. There's lots of scriptures. If you need help, we will help you. We'll give you a whole list of them. You can choose a few. You don't have to. You can say all of them if you want to, but you can take some that really speak from your heart and you and the Holy Spirit that you can worship God with. Usually I like to say three to five, you know, something like that, so that I'm prepared. How many know the enemy comes and he speaks to our mind? You don't have enough. Oh, my. And then the car broke down and the washer too. And the dryer sung a song to you. And you said, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? See, that's how the devil wants to say, what are you going to do? I'm going to look to my Father above, who takes care of me and already knows. It's no surprise to him. Hallelujah. He said for me not to take thought of tomorrow, not to worry, but to trust and begin to say, I speak to you in Jesus' name. Car, I call you fully repaired and paid for. I call you working order in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes things break down and we go to the shop. How many ever been to the garage? You ever been to the garage? They just couldn't fix it. They couldn't figure out what the problem is. Well, let's use our words. God can fix things too. If he doesn't, then we'll take it, you know, and maybe he wants, you know, we say, well, Lord, I could be a witness to the mechanic while I'm here. Not that he wanted it, but hey, I could share Jesus. Amen. But the key is that we can use our words. Our stuff can last longer than it normally would. Did you realize that? How many believe? You know, God hasn't forgotten. Remember the children of Israel? How long were they in the wilderness? Who knows? 40 years. Bible says their clothes did wear out. Their shoes did get too short. I mean, that means they must have grown on the children, right? They must have got longer. He hasn't forgotten how to make your stuff last. Amen. We can be blessed. Not just that you have to make it last, but we can be blessed. He'll take care of us. And we can use our words and our favor, and the word of God will come to pass in our life. Amen. All right. So I want us to remember that. Before I forget, we have some people online. Everybody say hello. Let's just clap a little bit. You can hear them clap, I hope. Hallelujah. Hello, Deborah and Chuck. I know are out there. Jim and Janelle and their baby girl. Hallelujah. God bless you. There may be some people watching with Chuck. You never know. Hello. We want to say hello to you. We love you. We appreciate you. We're praying for you on a regular basis. And we're believing God with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks for hooking up with us today. That was just a little mini message there. So we've been talking, though, on our journey here. We're on with God, and we've had a lot of different messages here. But today, my heart, it was what was filled this week, and this, and especially the last few days. I want to ask a question today, and I want to share it a little bit today, I should say, really. How do we walk in the love of God? What does that mean? What do we do? And how do I do it? How do I walk in love? Anybody ever asked that question? I mean, God says, love me. We understand that. Love God. But how do we walk in love, you and I? He's God, and obviously it's walking with God. And we looked at that a time before over in Micah 6:8, where he says what? To walk before him, right? To do good, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. And so today I want us to turn, the first place is Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verse number 44. Matthew 5, 44 says this. It says, let's start at 43. I don't like 45 starting there. I have 43 here also, but let's start at 43. Matthew 5, 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Oh my goodness. In other words, perfect just means mature, complete. You'll be mature in him. He's saying here about the love of God. Number one, first thing we see here, Jesus said, love your enemies. How many know? It's real easy to love all your friends. They're so lovely, right? All our friends are very lovely. But how many have lovely enemies? You know, if they're your enemy, then normally an enemy is a person who is actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. One that is antagonistic to another, especially one seeking to injure, overthrow, or confound an opponent. They're trying to overthrow you, confound you, injure you in some way. Many times it's somebody, maybe it's in your family, maybe it's, you know, somebody at your work, somebody that just for some reason or another they decided they don't like you. Maybe it's because you preach the gospel. Maybe it's because you live righteously. Amen. But he said, if we just love people that love us, where's our great reward? Everybody can do that. Anybody. He said even the sinners can do that. Tax collectors are sinners. We would probably say the sinners, you know, people that are not living righteously. They can love those that love them. But we're to love those that are loveless, that do not love us in return. And so this verse tells us second, first of all, to what? Love your enemy. The second thing here in verse 44 tells us to pray for our enemy here, or those that are against us, to bless them and to pray for them. Hallelujah. Jesus, what did Jesus say to do? He says to love, number one, to bless, to do good, and to pray. And if you do that, you'll be successful. But many times we say, how can I do that? And the answer is, you can't unless you're born again. You must be born again, Jesus said. But if you're born again, guess what? You can. You can pray, you can do good, you can bless, and you can love your enemy. It is possible. It is not possible with the natural man. Amen. But how many know you're a supernatural being? If you've been born again, then you're a son, right? Jesus moved in. You are a love son of love God. But what kind of love are we talking about? We're not talking about human love. We're talking about supernatural, the God kind of love that moved into your spirit when you were born again. What does the Bible say? It says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God, Romans 5:5. Let's go ahead and look at it. Yeah. The love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Verse 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint because. Now, how many have ever had hope get disappointed? It was taking so long. You got disappointed. You were seeing it. You're expecting something to happen, but it hadn't happened yet. And sometimes hope deferred can make the heart sick. But it says here, sick. It says here, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out or shed abroad, the King James says, or poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hallelujah. How many know the love of God was shed abroad or poured out into you? That means you and I, we have the love of God in us. Hallelujah. There's good news in the house today. There's already love in you. God moved in, and He is love. And if His love is shed abroad, what? In our heart by the Holy Spirit, then that would make it possible for us to love our enemy, to love those who hate us, to do good to them that hate you, to bless those that curse you. And if someone hates you, finding something good that you can do for them. What good can I do for them, Lord? Buy them a birthday gift and give it to them. Maybe send them a special offering. What good can I do to them, Lord? What do they need? How can I bless my enemy or the one who is speaking evil against me? The one who seems to hate me. See, this is the love of God in action. How do I walk in love? How do I walk in love? Number one, we can begin to bless. Lord, I bless them. Why? Because we know God wants them to be blessed. He said here in our passage that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. In other words, the sinner and saint alike, we all fall under the same rain, don't we? We're all here. It rains on all of us. God wants them blessed. So our prayer is, Father, bless them. Father, I hold them guiltless. I forgive them. There you go. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do because of the pain that it caused me and you. But if we'll go beyond and look to the love that's on the inside and let it rise up above and not let our flesh rule us. See, the flesh wants to get even. The flesh wants to say, you don't understand what they did to me. And God said, I forgave you. Will you forgive them for me? See, His love is greater. His love moved in. We're not talking about natural love. See, the enemy wants to keep us in a world of the natural. And God wants to take us to His world, which is supernatural and beyond, and will change the natural. Amen. It can change that whole circle. It changes us, but it also changes people when we forgive and we release. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So we're talking about the God kind of love. The Bible tells us that God loved us while we were still His enemies. And we can love just like God because the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, where does it say we're enemies? Verse 10 of chapter 5 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by His life? While we were still. Verse 8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. We were enemies of God. We didn't belong to Him yet. He said in James, maybe this will make it a little more clear, in James 4:4, He said, whoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Friendship with the world. So love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. If you know someone that hates you, we can find something good that we can do for them and begin to love them. Amen? If nothing else, you say, well, they don't want anything to do with me. They just curse me and so forth. Well, that doesn't mean that we can't love them. I remember a particular lady. She was a preacher and she was a teacher. And she was teaching in a certain town, and one particular pastor, I don't know why, but he didn't like women teachers or preachers. She's basically a teacher or preacher, you know. So she taught a lot and did a lot of preaching. So she said, well, I know what I'm going to do. I know their church. Their church was struggling. She didn't know that, but she just felt led of the Lord. She said, Lord, what can I do? She began to pray. So she took up an offering for him and his congregation and gave it to them. And bless them. So we want to bless you. It wasn't very long before she was preaching in his pulpit, and he didn't like women preachers, and he would still say, I don't care for women preachers, but she's going to minister to us today. And his heart began to change. He did eventually receive some more, but how many know sometimes we can have strongholds in our mind And the enemy wants to bind. But Jesus sets us free when we begin to listen and put His Word into action. And we begin to do the things that He said do. And she simply gave a gift and said, I love you. Regardless, how many know sometimes we've got to extend our hands and make our circle bigger? When someone excludes you, you draw a little bigger circle and include them. Because you're going to pray, you're going to bless, and we're going to say, Lord, how do you want me to do good to them, Lord? How can I set them free? I remember the story that Smith Wigglesworth, he tells. He was one of the famous preachers and preached in England. Of course, he's from England, and most of us have heard of him. But how many know this story right here that he tells? He said he was a plumber as well. He was a plumber, and he was doing his plumbing business. His wife did quite a bit of teaching and ministering. But his business, he'd given his heart to the Lord and was serving the Lord and was kind of wanting to get into the ministry. And even though he did his plumbing, you know, he would witness on the side and tell people about the Lord, but he was not really a teacher or preacher at that time. But his business began to prosper. And he said, my business prospered and I began to grow cold. I didn't go to church much. I backslid, in other words. And I said to my wife, you're up at that church all the time. You might as well move your bed up there. He said, you know, people get a little cantankerous when they don't really stay close with the Lord. Well, no, she said to Smith, she said, I'm not up there all the time. I'm only up there 3 times a week. I do not neglect, now listen to this, I do not neglect you or the children, and you know that. He says, well, you know, some people know just enough of the Bible to be dangerous and cause trouble. He says, well, I know the Bible says that wives should obey their husbands. And I forbid you to go up there to the church anymore. You can't go. He said, now, Smith, now listen. She didn't just take everything, but she loved him. See, she wasn't neglecting her family. Now, sometimes people get so spiritual. Anybody know anybody like that? They're praying all the time. They're seeking God so much. They can't make a dinner for their husband. They can't take care of their children. They're busy serving the Lord when God wants us to serve Him and maintain our responsibility. Amen, amen. That was real good preaching, Pastor Doug. Hallelujah. But it was good preaching. Because we do need to take care of our responsibility and serve the Lord. So he told her, he says, she said to her husband, now Smith, you're my husband, whatever you say at this house will go, but you're not my Lord. Jesus is my Lord, and he says for me to go, so I'm going to church. Goodbye. Well, he threatened to lock her out of the house if she went anymore. Apparently, she didn't have a key to the house, so he locked her out. So what did she do? She spent the night out on the porch. She laid there, of course, curled up close to the door because it probably got a little chilly. How many ever get chilly at night? You know, she probably didn't have her blanket with her. Hallelujah. But she fell there, and she was so close to the door, he opened the door in the morning, and she fell into the house. So what'd she do? She got up. She said, good morning, Smith. What would you like for breakfast? She prepared her husband's favorite breakfast and fed it to him as though nothing ever happened. Because she decided to walk in the love of God and to release the presence of God. See, there's a presence that comes with His love. That sets people free that no man can give. It comes from above. It comes from within, but it also comes from Him. It comes through us, a divine love that begins to move us and allow us to walk in a love that natural man will never know. And of course, he was still saved, so he was convicted and eventually repented and gave his life back strong with God. And later became a great evangelist of God, as we know. But he said, if it hadn't been for her, Polly, I'd never have made it. He may have never come back to the Lord. Could you imagine that? One act of love. One act of love can change a life. And it's the love of God that's already been shed abroad in us. But how many know we have to choose to let it out? Amen? We have to make some choices. We have to choose and say, no, I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm going to love anyway, regardless of what they say, regardless of what they've done, regardless of how bad it may have been. I know there's some things, I'm not saying that you have to trust people again, but we have to forgive. We have to let it go. We have to let love rule and love reign from within. And it begins many times with a prayer for them. Bless them, Lord. You say, well, I can't seem to forgive. Well, you can. Can you forgive if the Lord would help you to forgive? Now, let's see. Now, Lord, if you help me to forgive, can I forgive? Would I be able to do that? Well, sure. And maybe all you could say is, Lord, I bless them. And maybe your feelings have nothing. You don't mean it. And you tell the Lord, I don't even mean it, Lord. But I bless them because you said to bless them. It won't be very long. Every time they come to your mind, you say that, Lord, I'll pray for them and bless them. Oh, Lord, of course, you know, you ever try not to think about somebody? I'm not going to think about them, you know. And they come to your mind, what, 4 or 5 times that day? Oh, yes, Lord, I pray for them and I bless them. It won't be too long that God can then begin to work in our hearts and we begin to see the light. And God's compassion for them rises up, you see. We've got ourselves on our minds sometimes. We're so worried about our hurt and our pain, we forget about somebody else. And sometimes they may not have meant it. They may not have meant what they did. They may not have tried. Maybe they already talked to the Lord and got it straight with Him. And sometimes people can't do certain things. They don't have the words to say. I remember one particular lady, she was sharing with me, and she says, I don't understand it. My mama, she's always doing the stuff for me. She's always trying to help me, and I don't know why. I don't get it. I said, sweetheart, she's just trying to tell you she's sorry. She just can't seem to form the words herself. And sometimes people have things in their heart, and they're trying to do the right thing. But deep inside, they are so broken, they just can't seem to find the way. Without Jesus, man is limited, and they can't do the right thing. But with Him, we can still forgive. We can still release. We can say, Lord, I know Your love and Your peace. We can say, Father, I forgive and I release. I pray and I bless. I do good, Father. I let it go. The New Testament tells us here in Luke 23:34. Remember when Jesus was on the cross, He said, we all know this, Father, what did He say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And some people say, well, that was Jesus. He could do that, yes. But the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts too. He emptied Himself, remember, of all His divinity when He came to the earth. And everything He did as a man unto the Father for you and I. Did you ever notice what Stephen, the first martyr, said when he was dying? Acts 7:59. Now this is the story of Stephen where he went down and he He was preaching the gospel, of course, and he was the first one that gave his life for the Lord. But in 759, he said some things, and 60, it says, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling out on God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he said this, he fell asleep. So he was kneeling down. Now that's love, isn't it? It's the love of God. People were beating him to death, and he's praying for them. And he released them, and perhaps many have said perhaps his prayer is what gave God enough to bring forth the threatenings of Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul. Could you imagine one act of love, one prayer, one voice saying, Father, don't hold this against them. I want them to know you. I want them to be blessed. And of course, there's here in Peter, let's look at 1 Peter 3, 8 through 10, another New Testament example here that we have. Hallelujah. These are all wonderful examples, but it's up to us to decide. You say, well, I don't know if my love's strong enough on the inside. There are things that we can do, and we teach them here often, and we do them here. And of course, it's based upon one thing, primarily, and that's fellowship and intimacy with our Father. Because how many know when you know Him, you know love? It says people persecute, and many times they fall into these places where it's hard for them to do certain things because they don't realize and understand the love of the Father. They don't really know Him. We talked a little bit about that Wednesday night when we were talking about the two sons, the prodigal son and the son that was still working with the Father. But how many know? He never went into the house to really commune much. He knew his father. He got his inheritance from his father and so forth, but he really didn't know an intimacy with the Father. And God, we were saying that God's in us. In John 14, Jesus in me. I'm in Him, one with our Father. See, that's where there's three things that God really is doing in us with that love. He's bringing that love, what, to us. He's working that love in us, and He wants to work that love through us. So there's several things involved. We need to know that God loves us. Amen. That He has come. His love is what? Never ending, everlasting. It will not change. He cannot change, nor can He be changed. He is love. And His love, which was shed abroad in our heart, which will be poured forth when we allow Him to love us. And we understand that love. And we begin to see His heart for those that are around us and others, even with our own family, with our own things. How many know there's always somebody in your family that's maybe they're a little difficult to love? I don't know if you've had any, but I've had a few. And we have to love them anyway and pray for them and bless them and do good for them. Amen. But here it says in 1 Peter 3, 8, finally, oh yeah, 1 Peter 3, 8 says, finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Now we notice here in verse 9, we are blessed that we may what? Inherit. We bless and we inherit a blessing. That tells me there is a blessing in love and in forgiveness and in walking, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Anybody ever been railed on? That means they just keep going on and on. They're just giving it to you. They're letting you have it, telling you like it is. And you stand there with the smile. Oh. And you know, if you can learn and practice to let the compassion of God come out for that person, sometimes they'll just change right in your presence. Oh my, forget, I don't know what I'm doing. We can release the presence of God. There's a presence in that love. We can release that love to them without saying a word. Sometimes we can just look with the heart of compassion. You know, we see that in a puppy dog, don't we? Oh, he's begging for food. Well, how do you know? His eyes are telling you so. Please. And you can look with that same compassion of God. Sometimes just a look can calm that situation down. And they realized, oh my, what am I doing? What's wrong with me? Hallelujah. Verse 10 says this of the same chapter here, 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. How many know sometimes we have to refrain our tongue? Love refrains. It doesn't speak everything it knows, amen? It doesn't give the correction right now, sometimes it just stands and lets someone rail, lets someone render evil, and we bless that we might inherit the blessing. I remember a particular person that was in my church when I was a young man, a young person. And they, for some reason, did not like me, and I had to make a choice. Now, I remember on purpose I said, Lord, I'm going to love that person, period. No matter what they do, no matter how they act. For instance, there would be a time and they say, greet somebody, and you reach out your hand to greet the person. And this particular person literally just turned their back and went and sat down. And, you know, obviously they're trying to gain something or have thought something that's not so. And so, Lord, I come to you. I thank you, Father, that you bless them. I begin to pray for this person. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you put a guard on my mouth. Put a watch at the door of my lips. I shall not say one evil thing, not one thing against this person, Lord, never. And I will pray for them, Lord. I will bless them. And if you will help me, I'll do good to them. I'll do my best to bless them and help them. Well, it wasn't too long, and this person came to me and began to make accusations and so forth, and finally asked the question, you've been talking about me, haven't you? I said, thank God. No, I have not said one word against you. For the love of God, see, can set a person free. They had no more words, just a peace. It just stopped. It stopped. And the Lord, see, wants to rescue people and set them free. But if we're going to be those that are giving railing for railing and evil for evil, it's not going to work, because we know what? That's the natural, isn't it? That's the natural man. But this is supernatural. And God's supernatural love, which is shed abroad in our heart, causes us to walk with him. And we see here in verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open under their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Who's going to harm you? No one. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, we've been talking a little bit about suffering, haven't we? And sometimes we suffer for righteousness' sake. Happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed and falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. In other words, we're to be a good example, amen? Not those that are coming against or giving railing or being angry or giving back what was dealt out to us, amen? But to have compassion on them. John 4:4 says, greater is he. You are of God, little children, and greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. So we can say that the love of God has some rewards, amen? What are we going to do, number one? You know, we know that we're going to bless, right? We're going to pray. We're going to do good. We're also going to forgive. Jesus said in Ephesians 4:32, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not. Oh, that's 1 John. I'm sorry. Knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 John 4:7-8. But Ephesians 4:32. Let me read that one. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. But 1 John's good too. That the love of God, which was poured in our heart by the Holy Spirit, we can allow it to come forth. Our new nature itself has that love in there. Now, how do we do that? How do we do it? We practice. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, Hebrews 5:14, says that, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have exercised their senses. Amen. We ought to exercise our senses to discern both good and evil. Hallelujah. Amen. That's one thing. We begin to practice. Secondly, of course, we know here, if we're going to walk in the love of God, we already said those four things, right? Bless, pray, do good, forgive. Then we said here, we're going to begin to practice that. We have to put those things into practice. We have to put the prayer into practice. We've got to put the blessing into practice, amen? We've got to put the doing good into practice. And when we practice these things, we practice it from our heart, letting our senses be exercised. How many know what your senses are? What you feel, right? What you taste, what you touch, all your emotions that get triggers. We can exercise them to discern what is good, what is evil, what is right, what is wrong, and begin to do that on a consistent basis and let the love of God govern our heart. Amen. And when we do, we're walking with God. Walking in love is very important to your walk in the Spirit. Jude 20 said, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, okay? 21 says, keeping yourselves in what? The love of God. How many believe praying in the Spirit, see, praying in other tongues, will strengthen you and help you in your walk in the love of God? Hallelujah. Amen. It's true. Because you're being built up, what? In our spiritual man, where that love is. Amen. Hallelujah. So those are the things that we can do. We can what? Pray. We bless. We pray. We do good. We forgive. We use our, we exercise ourselves. We practice those things. And we can pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And let the love of God rule our heart. Amen. And love God and love people. So that we understand the love of God in us, to us, and of course, what? Through us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your love that set us free, that is in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that we can walk in that love. And as we walk in that love, Father, we know we are walking with you. Father, we thank you, Father, that you help us to continue to govern our hearts, govern our lives by that love, because you are love. We give you praise, we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name today. If you're here this morning, and I believe everybody here has been born again, and those that are watching, but maybe you had difficulty experiencing the love of God for yourself, we'd like to pray for you this morning and let the love that's already in your heart begin to let it rise up and say to yourself, I just want you to say to yourself, I believe, Father, that you love me. I receive that love.